praise. Come on, just take another moment. Why don't you show him that you love him like he loves you? Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, you gave me your life. The least that I can do is give you my praise, give you my worship. So therefore, I enter your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. There's an anointing of the Holy Ghost in this place. You can feel it just walking in. I'm going to go right into the word of the Lord. Matthew chapter 15, verse 26. Thank you so much for having us. We are honored to be here, honored to know this church. And as a correction to what Brother Linda was saying, you can take this as you want, but we really don't pray for many churches. This is one of the few that we do intercede for, and I spend time, and this is no boast. This is just because I feel a connection with this church, and I know that there's an anointing on this church, and I pray. Every time I pray, I call out this church in prayer and just pray that God would anoint this church and God would lead this church into a harvest of revival and souls, because I believe that is the vision of your pastor, the vision of God. I believe that this church is not comfortable in complacency. I believe that this church is hungry for revival. Inward and outward revival, not just new souls, but I'm talking about a revival that hits the church and goes to the streets. Amen. I believe that type of spirit, that type of anointing, that type of promise is in this place. So thank you so much for having us. It is always our high privilege to be here, and some of the best people we've ever come in contact with is Brother and Sister Linder and their family. And we love them. They support us, and we love their support. And we just love getting to hang out with them. They are amazing people. And I'll tell you this. He didn't tell me to say this. But you probably don't know. I'm not sure if you're aware of it. But you have one of the greatest preachers in our movement standing right here. And Brother Linder. Amen. One of the greatest men of God I know, and I know that. He might not know. I have heard him preach, but he let me know that they have podcasts. You have podcasts on your internet, your website. And so it's not a rare occasion that my wife and I are in the car for many hours, and many times we go to the Heaven View website and we look up sermons preached by your pastor, and we are fed and edified in our car, and sometimes we're praying and crying and speaking in tongues, and we just say, Jesus, take the wheel, and somehow we don't crash and have a wreck. If you ever do hear of us having a crash, it's probably because we were crying and praying and travailing and building altars in our car when we were on the highway. But I do know that he has been preaching on the cross, and your sermons on the cross has touched me. Has it touched anybody else, his sermons on the cross? Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Amen. Matthew 20, or Matthew verse chapter 15. I'll read the whole narrative here in a moment, but just for sake of time, I'll read these last few verses, Matthew 15 and 26. The Bible says, "But he, Jesus, answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." Somebody say dogs. And she said, "Truth, Lord." Everybody say, "Truth, Lord." Truth, Lord. Those are powerful words. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Anybody heard this story? Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Jesus gives her four words that I would love to hear just about more than any other words he could say to me. Great is your faith. There was something about this woman, something that he saw in this woman, something that she did, something that got his attention, that caused him to say something that is only spoken of his mouth twice in the New Testament. And he says, "Great is your faith." How many of you would like to hear those words spoken from Jesus? Point his finger at you and say, "Child, great is your faith." So I want to tonight examine this story, this narrative, and I want to preach to you this title, "The Determination of a Dog." the determination of a dog. Amen. Why don't we pray before we're seated? Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you have done. We worship you for your glory and your majesty. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Lord, right now, upon the power and authority of the name of Jesus, I pray that you take control over this service. Take control over this service. Lord, right now, I welcome your presence in this place. Right now, upon the authority of the Word of God, I welcome the presence of Jehovah in this church. For this is the house of God. This is not a house of fear. This is not a house of intimidation. But this is the house of faith, the house of hope, the house of miracles, signs, and wonders. So tonight, Lord, have your way in this place tonight. That when we leave here, we shall be changed by the mighty, powerful name of Jesus Christ. Why don't we praise him with a hand clap of worship and praise together? Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. I'll stay within my time frame. He said, as long as I was done by 10:30, I promise I will be done. You know, I've asked some churches before. I said, are we apostolic? They said, yeah, we're apostolic. I said, are you sure? Because my Bible tells me that the apostle, the apostolic Paul, he preached all night. That was just the beginning of the story. He preached so long, somebody fell out the window asleep and died. And that's just the beginning of the story. They said, well, someone's dead. I guess we ought to go home. He said, no. You stay right there. I'll be right back. He walks downstairs. He prays the kid back from death and says, get back in the church. I ain't done preaching yet. He preaches till the sun comes up. Are we apostolic? Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel something. Matthew chapter 15, the story of a lady begins, of a desperate lady, a determined lady who was not Jewish. The story begins in chapter 15 and verse 21. And the Bible says that Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Now, same words, kind of different phrase. She says the same thing blind Bartimaeus said. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. She said the same exact thing. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. But she got a completely different response. Blind Bartimaeus, as you know, was on the road to Jericho, and he was screaming his guts out, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And you know the story. The religious people came and said, hey, keep your peace. So hold your peace. Be quiet. And the Bible says he yelled even louder, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The Bible tells us that he got the attention of the king, and the king answered his prayer request and healed his blind eyes and opened his blind eyes. And he was healed that very moment. But this is another story. This is another context. This is another situation. We find that a woman comes to Jesus. The Bible says she came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. She had just as desperate of a need as blind Bartimaeus had. In fact, possibly even more of a desperate need, because her daughter was possessed by a devil. You can go to heaven blind. You can't go to heaven possessed of a devil. She had, I would say, in my opinion, a deeper, desperate need than blind Bartimaeus, but got an altogether different response from the same God, Jesus Christ. So let me give you the context. The context is that this woman, first of all, was not Jewish. Doesn't matter today whether you're a Jew or Greek or Gentile or black or white or red or brown or green like me or yellow like somebody else. It don't matter who you are, what you are, what your background is. You don't have to have a great pedigree. You don't have to have great talents and PhDs. You don't have to have anything, because Jesus said, I've come to seek and save that which is lost. The Bible says that through Jesus we are joint heirs to the Jewish promise of Abraham. Today it doesn't matter what race you are, what ethnicity you are, what demographic you are. It doesn't matter your name, or doesn't matter your DNA, doesn't matter your handicap. Aren't you thankful that we serve a God whose grace is sufficient for us? I know it's Wednesday night. We're going to act like it's Sunday morning for the next 20 minutes, all right? I'm not a teacher. I'm not a pastor. These guys who are teachers and pastors, they're amazing enough to be able to stand up here and preach by themselves. I can't do that. I'm an evangelist with a handicap. I can't preach by myself. Somebody's got to pray. And I believe there's power when we come together in the name. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in the name of Jesus, he shows up and he shows off. The Bible said that where one can put 1,000 to flight, two of us can put 10,000 to flight. Imagine what we could do with over 100 people. Imagine how many devils we could put to flight here tonight in the power of unity. Under the authority of the name of Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. Now you may sit down. Ephesians 2:11 didn't give them scriptures. They're going to stay with me. They're doing a good job already. Ephesians 2:11 gives us the context of what you were before Jesus died for you. This was the lady that came to Jesus. All right, just laying the foundation. We'll swing from the non-existent chandeliers here in a moment. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:11, therefore remember that you, somebody say me, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in flesh by hands, that at that time, somebody say, this is me, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Watch this. Having no hope and without God in the world. That was this woman from Canaan. It said that she was an alien, a stranger from the commonwealth or promise of Israel. She was a stranger from the covenant of promise. And she didn't have little hope. She didn't have sometimes hope. She didn't have Sunday morning hope. She didn't have revival hope. She didn't have camp meeting hope. She had no hope. See, I say we have revival hope sometimes. Maybe if we could just have a little revival. Maybe if we could just have a camp meeting. Maybe if I could just make it to Sunday morning, everything would be all right. But in this day, she couldn't say, maybe if I could just wait to Sunday morning. She was waiting for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Imagine being this lady whose child is possessed by a devil. The devil has attacked her home. The devil has attacked her children. The devil has no doubt attacked her even marriage, because her kids are messed up. They can't get the kids to the right doctor, the right psychologist, the right counselors. Can't get the right prescriptions. Nothing's working. So it's affecting their home. It's affecting their sleep. It's affecting their marriage. And she's tried this. And she's tried that, and she's gone to hospitals and doctors and psychologists and therapy and rehab. Nothing has worked. The devil has yet prevailed. But when she hears about a man named Jesus, and such were some of us. We tried alcohol. We tried drugs. We tried. Oh, we tried it all. And nothing worked until I heard about
got a man named Jesus who can save my sins and pull me out of the miry clay. I found out about an apostolic church where I could be baptized in the name of Jesus, filled with the Holy Ghost, speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. I'm talking about a God who can save you out of the gutter, who can save you out of sin, who can pull you out of darkness. His name is Jesus. Oh, we ought to have somebody who wants to praise for just a moment. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Oh, I can't tell it all what God has done. You may be seated. I just feel like giving the devil two black eyes tonight. This woman who had a desperate need. I'm preaching to somebody with desperation. I'm preaching to somebody with needs in your house. In fact, I'll go as far as to say I'm preaching to somebody's house right now. I'm preaching to somebody's family right now. The devil has tried to destroy your marriage. The devil has tried to destroy your kids. The devil has tried to destroy the sanctity of your home, the peace of your home. He's tried to divide you, destroy you, deceive you, ridicule you, knock you down, and keep you silent because he knows that a house divided against itself cannot stand. But we're more than just a house. We're the church of the living God. And the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Let me preach a little bit. This is an aside. This isn't a commercial break. Just for a moment. I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm going to walk in it. What we need to do in this hour. See, the sin of this world is trying to creep into our home. The sin and immorality and carnality of this world is trying to creep into our home. So you know what we need to do? It's time we take church from these walls into our home. It's time we have altars in our bedroom. It's time When's the last time you ran the aisle in your kitchen? When's the last time you danced your hair down in your bedroom? When's the last time you spoke in tongues in your prayer closet? When's the last time you had a praise break in your living room? It's time we take church. It's time we take heaven you with us to our home. Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost. Lift your hands right now. Lord, right now I rebuke fear. Right now I curse condemnation. Right now, God, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of shame, the spirit of fear, the spirit of anxiety. Let us be people of faith. Let us be a house of the living God, that no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. I feel right now, tonight, God wants to help somebody's marriage. Tonight, God wants to help somebody's home. Tonight, God wants to send a spirit of peace. He wants to rebuke confusion and give you clarity. He wants to rebuke fear and give you faith. He knows you've been walking through a valley, but it's time that the sun rises in your home. Oh, God, I know that weeping has endured for a night, but it's time for the morning to arise. It's time to joy come into our homes. It's time for us to have clarity. It's time for us to have peace. It's time for us to have victory. Hear me. She had no hope. She had no God. She had no Jesus. She had no Bible. She had no church. She had no pastor. She had no testimony. She had no promise. She had no word. What did she have that brought her to church anyways? Ooh, got quiet. What possessed her to bring her to church when she had every excuse not to go? She was a dog. And you know how dogs are. They're determined to get what they need. Apparently, and I'll tell this quick, apparently I was born 28 years ago and the doctor handed me to my mother and said, well, congratulations, it's a boy, but he looks like a bulldog. True story. My aunt walked in. I remember this. I was 30 seconds old. I still don't like her to this day. Can't believe it. She walked in and took a big gasp and just, he looks like a bulldog. You're not laughing because you think I'm lying. I'm telling the truth. I've acted probably like a bulldog. My wife can tell you I'm as stubborn and hard-headed sometimes and determined as a bulldog. I want my way. I want it right now. Long story short, I remember being 9 years old and I was playing baseball and my dad was my pastor. And Wednesday evening before church, I had a game that next Saturday and I found baseball socks with holes in them. And I knew I can't play baseball with holes in my socks. I ran into my dad's room who was getting ready to preach. I said, Dad, I need new baseball socks. He said, okay, we'll get them for you by Saturday. I said, no, Dad, I need them right now. 9-year-old bulldog. I need them right now. I ain't going to wait. My dad said, son, I'm getting ready for church. I got to preach tonight. Your mom's cooking. Your brother's doing homework. Go get ready for church. I ain't getting you socks right now. Come on. Don't be crazy. I said, Dad, I need socks right now. Determined as a dumb dog. My dad sarcastically responded and he said, just take the car and go get your own socks. I got to get my sermon ready. I said, okay. I walked out of there, grabbed his keys, got in the car at 9 years old and pulled on the highway and drove down the street at 9 years old. I could barely see over the steering wheel and reach the accelerator at the same time, but my God, my tongue was hanging out the window like a dumb dog. About 5 minutes later, I realized, wait a second, no money, no directions. I don't know where I am. I'm only 9 years old. They ain't going to sell me anything. 9 years old. I don't know how to get there. And I pulled a U-turn right in the middle of the highway. Almost got jackknifed by two other cars. And I remember I got home and my dad nearly yanked me out of the car. He about wore me out till my mom came outside and said, Steve, you told him to do it. You can't get on to him. I was as determined as a dog. I told my dad, I said, Dad, I need my socks right now. I said, Dad, if I go to church tonight, I'm not going to be able to focus. I need socks now. I said, Dad, I won't be able to sleep tonight with holes in my socks. I said, Dad, if I go to school tomorrow with holes in my socks, I won't be able to pay attention to my teacher. I need socks right now. I remember I was about 20 years old, living in the world, had backslidden, doing drugs and alcohol, playing baseball in college. I was also the drummer of our church, go figure. I was living in sin, hiding from the world behind on the platform, behind the spotlight on the drum set. I don't know how that works. You know, some people think it's easy to hide from God in the spotlight. That don't make any sense. That's how I did it. I thought I'd be smart, and I didn't want to tell my pastor that I was living in sin, so I just kept my cover sitting on the drum set every Sunday, almost barely sober enough to sit there. And I remember playing the drums, and one night, I remember God just kind of speaking to me and grabbing me, and I knew God was doing something. I had no right for God to even know my name anymore. I had no right to even know my address anymore. I had no right for God to keep reaching for me anymore. But one night I just felt the Holy Ghost so random. And I said, God, is it you? Are you trying to do something in my life? And I made up in my mind like a dog. I said, God, I'm going to pray and fast until I know what you're doing. And until I know your voice, God, until I know your plan. And it was 2 weeks later and I had opportunities to continue my baseball career. But it was 2 weeks later. I had been fasting and praying. And I finally did confess to the pastor. I said, I don't need to be on the drums. I need to be out there getting fed from God. And that night in the prayer room, I prayed before church. And I said, God, tonight's the night you will speak to me. I'm not leaving until you speak to me. That dog came out of me. It was like me telling my daddy, I need socks right now. And I'm not going to stop fighting until I get what I want. I said, God, I'm not trying to give you an ultimatum, because the truth is I have no right. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy enough. I'm not anointed enough. I'm not called enough. But the Bible says that your grace is sufficient for me. So God, listen, hear my cry, see my prayer. Tonight you will talk to me. God, I won't leave church until you do. If they have to kick me out on the curb, I'll run the parking lot until you talk to me. I'll pray on the sidewalk until you speak to me. It was that night the evangelist was preaching. I was five rows back, sitting there in the pew. All of a sudden, like a sack of bricks, the voice of God just falls on me. Kaboom! And the Lord says, I have called you to preach. When the evangelist finally shut his dumb mouth and opened the altars, I ran to the altar, threw up my hands, and I said, God, now confirm it, because I got to know if it was you. The worship leader who had been on the piano, I saw him. He jumps off the platform. Never seen him do anything like this before. So he got the Holy Ghost all of a sudden, I guess. And he jumped off the platform and came up to me and said, Chris, tonight God called you to preach. 5 minutes later, a former missionary who was retired at this church, he comes over to me and says, Chris, tonight God called you to preach. You think that's about me? No, I'm trying to impart a word of faith that what would happen? What would this service look like? What would this church look like? What would your home look like? What would Winston-Salem look like if we had a handful of people that may be dogs, but you're as determined as a dog to hear the voice of God that you said, God, I'm not going to leave church until I hear your voice. I'm not going to work until I know your direction. I'm not going to eat another bite until I know your will for my life.
Woo!
What would your marriage look like if you said, God, I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to fast every day. I'm going to get on the floor and find your voice until you fix my home, until you send revival, until you heal my family. I will find you.
Woo. Jesus. I'm going to go just a little bit further. Maybe seated.
Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Thank you. God is in this place. In the Bible, a dog was a term of reproach. It was a term of shame. It was a term of condemnation. The Bible, in fact, says, give not that which is holy to the dogs. If it's holy, the dogs can't have it. But the only problem is,
This is going to sound like a contradiction at first, but just let me finish. The only problem is that God had already given something that was holy to a dog in the Old Testament. I preached about him last time I was here. You probably remember every word I preached, right? I preached about a man named Caleb. Remember Caleb? Long story short, we have an entire nation called Israel, called God's people, called God's church, called God's children. He brings them out of Egypt, says, go, take the promised land, flowing with milk and honey. 3 million plus people. Out of those 3 million, there was only two who came out of Egypt who walked into the promised land. Joshua, Caleb. In Hebrew, Caleb's name means dog. Let me encourage you, if your name is dog tonight. In the Greek, it doesn't mean dog anymore, because God can't contradict his word. So when the dog Caleb inherited that which was holy, they immediately changed the definition of his name. Today, his name, feel the Holy Ghost. Today, his name means faithful. One who walks with God wholeheartedly. Give not that which is holy to the dog. God looks at the nation of Israel and says, I don't want the mega church, I want the dog. In fact, God speaks to Moses and says, I'm cursing the mega church, but Caleb, I'm giving the promise. Why? Because he had another spirit with him, for he followed me fully. And you've come in here thinking I'm not good enough. And when pastor asks us to do something for God, and I say, but God, not me. Pastor, not me. I'm not good enough. And when God knocks on your heart and says, I want you to step up higher, baby. I want you to witness. I want you to testify. I want to use you in my kingdom. And I say, I'm not good enough, God. I'm just an old dog. I'm divorced 12 times. And I was on meth, and I was on marijuana, and I was on drugs and alcohol. And God, I don't know the word. I can't. Quote in his scripture, I don't know how to pray. And God says, exactly, you're exactly what I've been looking for. You're a dog, but I can turn you around if you're just a little bit determined. Sit down. Long story short, the Bible says that the woman came to him as a Gentile, no hope. No promise, no covenant, no right. She came anyways. And she says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is possessed, grievously possessed by a devil. And I've heard you're the only one that can fix her. I'm going to give you the short end of the story very quickly. The Bible says that Jesus ignored her. He spoke not to her. He didn't give her one word. He couldn't even give her the consonant and a vow of saying no. He couldn't even give her the common courtesy of saying, I'm sorry, but it's not your time yet. I'm sorry, but you're just going to have to watch your daughter die. The Bible says he did not answer her a word. He ignored her. Then she goes to the disciples and says, hey guys, can you put in a good word for me to the master, because my daughter is possessed by a devil. And the disciples go to Jesus and said, get this woman away from us. She doesn't belong here. Don't have time to preach that, but it's not our job to say who has the right and who belongs and who doesn't. And Jesus says, well, let me tell you something, boys. He said, I came for the sheep. I came to minister to the sheep. Verse 24, he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's not her time yet. Watch. He hasn't talked to her yet. He's only ignored her. And he spoke to the disciples and said, well, it's just not her time yet, guys. Maybe if she can just hold off until I die and resurrect, then she can get her miracle. But see, here's the revelation in verse 25. Then she came and worshiped him. Then she came and worshiped him. She could not yet praise him because he had done nothing for her. Because your praise is for what he does, but your worship is for who he is. Wait a second, apostolics. She had never met him yet, but she already knew who he was. Wait a second, apostolics. She didn't have the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, but she knew enough to worship him anyways. I hope I didn't lose you. She hadn't gotten her miracle yet. She hadn't gotten her performance yet. She hadn't seen the power of God yet. But she knew he was God. So she had to worship him anyways. I don't know about you, but I don't want to put my worship in a guitar. I don't want to put my worship on a goosebump. I don't want to put my worship on good preaching. I want my worship to be in the identity of Jesus Christ. He's the great I am. He's the everlasting Father. He's wonderful. He's counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess the name of Jesus. The only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm almost there. Woo. Woo. God, I feel your anointing here. The Bible says, after God ignored her and God neglected her, she came and worshiped him anyways. Saying, Lord, help me. But watch. Something about her worship got the attention of the king. Because when she worshiped him, he turned to her and spoke directly to her and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Oh God. The reason why we have the power that we have in our churches is because we have conviction in our churches. The spirit of the age that's hit our culture and society that says, Pastor, tell me like I want to hear it, and tell me as good as I want to hear it, and inspire me and motivate me, and tell me I'm going to be rich and a millionaire, and I'm going to have all these things, and Ferraris and Lamborghinis, and God, Pastor, tell me the things I want to hear. But the spirit of the age says, you tell me what I don't want to hear, I'll go down the street to the next church. But see, the reason why this lady got her miracle is because when she got the attention of the king, and the king spoke the truth, she didn't run down the street to the next pastor. It's first night of revival. I'm gonna behave myself, but I'm just gonna say this. You better be careful when you get his attention. He does not have truth. He is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, which means when he opens his mouth, the only thing that can come out is truth. And before God will heal you, he wants to fix you first. So he looks at her after she worships him. That's how you get his attention. But beware. When you get the attention of the sovereign God, he's going to tell you like it is. That's why we need a pastor who will tell us like it is.
he looks at her and says, "Woman, I hate to be so disrespectful. Don't sue me. But you're a dog. You'd be suer faster than you could spell attorney if you called someone here a dog." Churches have been split because a pastor called a lady a dog. And Jesus says, "Lady, let me tell you like it is. The problem is that you're just a dog, and I can't give that which is holy to a dog. You're condemned, you're ashamed, you're embarrassed, you're insecure, you're inferior. I can't give what I have to you. You're a dog." This is the way my mind interprets this narrative. Jesus tells her the truth face to face. Says, "Ma'am, you are a dog." Okay, that'll do it, boys. Let's go down to Capernaum. And then he hears two words that stops him cold. She's down on her knees in desperation with tears and sweat. She's dirty. She's been crawling at the feet of Jesus. And finally she hears him say, "You're a dog." And she's on her knees and says two words that changes the whole story. "Truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. I am a dog. You're right. I'm messed up. I've got problems. I've got failures. I've got insecurities. I've got demons in my home. You're right. Truth, Lord. I'm inadequate. I'm inferior. I'm insecure. God, you're right. I'm a dog. Oh, but Lord, before you go, I don't need the whole buffet. I just need a crumb. And as far as I know, God, even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the table. And I know it's a big problem. And I know my daughter's possessed. And I know my home is broken. And I know my marriage is falling apart. But I don't need the whole buffet of your power. I just need a crumb of who you are. I don't need you to open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing. I just need a word. I don't need something great. I just need a crumb. I don't need you to move heaven and earth. I just need a touch." And Jesus says, "Woman, oh woman, great is your faith. You don't deserve it. You're not worthy of it. In fact, I'm not even supposed to do it yet. I haven't died. I haven't rent the veil. But I can reach around the cross and I can reach around the tomb because I've never seen faith like this. You're not Jewish. You're not apostolic Pentecostal. And you're not a Bible quizzer. And you're not a preacher. And you're not anointed. And you haven't necessarily been called. And you're not a musician. And you're not a great prayer warrior. But your faith is causing me to activate my power before I should even reveal it to you. Your faith is activating my blood before it's even been poured out. Your faith is activating the power of my name before I can even put it on you yet. Your faith. I tell you, the one thing she had that any of us could have in this place right now is she had determination, not desire.
Desire will not get you delivered. Everybody has desire to be delivered. Everybody has desire to see a miracle. But your desire will not get you any closer to God than your desire to be a millionaire will allow you to win the Powerball. But she had something that when Jesus looked around at her and said, wow, I've never seen faith like this. Everybody has desire. They've come and they've touched me. They've bumped into me. They've screamed for me. They shouted for me. They've sacrificed for me. But this lady has determination. She's got a made up mind that nothing that I say is going to deter her from my presence. Nothing I say is going to take her away from church. Nothing I say is going to offend her, to cause her to separate. Nothing I say will stop this woman's pursuit of me. I wonder if there's somebody in this house tonight. I'll tell you what the Lord spoke to me, that tonight would be a word of victory for somebody. The Lord spoke to me and said tonight there would be a word of a break through for somebody in this house. The Lord dealt with me in prayer and fasting and said that I would give you a word of victory and a word of a breakthrough. This is not a word of condemnation. This is not a word of judgment. This is not a word of inferiority, but this is a word for someone to grab onto who needs a breakthrough, who needs victory, who needs an answer from God, who needs to hear his voice, who needs to see the miraculous power of God revealed in your life. Woo. I feel God in this place. I'm stopping right here. I wonder if you stand to your feet. I wonder if somebody with the spirit of determination inside of them who has a made up mind that says, God, tonight is my night. This is my hour. This is the day the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad. I've wept for too many nights. It's time to see the joy of the Lord. For in his presence there is fullness of joy. In his presence there is fullness of joy, and it is the joy of the Lord that gives me strength. I'm calling right now to somebody who's made up their mind tonight. God, I'm not leaving this place the same way I came. I'm not going home the same way I came.